grace. Amen. How many are thankful that some chains are going out of your life? Amen. And you can label them, call them whatever you want to. But how many know fear can be a chain? Condemnation can be a chain. As well as addictions can be a chain, or, you know, whatever it is. But thank God for his amazing grace. I shared with some young men in the parking lot of Food Lion this week. Maybe some of you saw them. Bought me some t-shirts to support their ministry of what they're doing. They are changing lives. And one young man told me he'd been delivered from heroin. He'd done heroin for 10 years, and God delivered him and saved him and set him free, and he is just on fire for God and reaching out to other people and letting them know that there is healing and hope out there, and it is available. It is the amazing grace of God. And before I left the parking lot, he said, "Would you pray with us?" I said, "Yes, I would." And boy, I felt the anointing right there in the Food Lion parking lot. Hallelujah. Because I know the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to change lives. Amen. I'm a result of that. When he was telling his story, I said, "Yeah, I know a man too that said, 'God, if you'll save me, I'll serve you.'" And God delivered him from alcoholism and delivered him from a life of, you know, just a life of torment up to that point. And God saved his life and saved his family. And so I believe in the power of God to change lives. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Pentecost. Amen. I believe in the Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. I thank God for my Pentecostal background. I thank God that I was filled with the Holy Spirit about 8 years old. It's just a kid. And I didn't even know about much about the Holy Spirit or speaking tongues and any of that kind of stuff. But God, I just remember praying up around the altar one night, and I just realized that I was praying in tongues. It was just that simple. And so I thank God for that background. I think one of the most powerful things that this house has done is made space and made room for people to receive the Holy Spirit in our church camps. And, you know, the amount of kids that have come through here that have gotten saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and are on fire for Jesus. You know, it's not about numbers, but it is about changing the world. It is about changing people's lives. Hallelujah. And let me just tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit is in you. It's not something that you got to wait on and tarry for. It is in you. And we can have the expression of the speaking in tongues as an evidence of that. But how many know the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, resides in you today? Hallelujah. And I want to go to John chapter 14 because I want to talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus said about it. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 because it is Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. But how many know Pentecost just meant it was 50 days from Passover in that period of time? And Jesus instructed his disciples to go to Jerusalem, go to the upper room, tarry there until the promise of the Father come. Hallelujah. And how many know in that season of their life, how many of the disciples had walked through some stuff? Come on, somebody. The disciples had walked through some stuff. They had lost their rabbi, their master. They had seen the violence. They had seen cultural violence that had happened. They had seen the death of Jesus by the hand of his own people. They had seen a whole lot of stuff, and they had, dealt with their own doubt. They had dealt with their own denial. They had dealt with their own disbelief. They had dealt with fear. How many have dealt with some fear over the last few weeks of this whole thing that's been going on? And, you know, I've talked to some people, and they said, "I am so scared. I am so scared." And somebody said to me the one day, are you scared? And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm really not. You know, and maybe I should be, but I'm not." I said, because I just have to choose to trust the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, we sometimes say, yeah, I know the Holy Spirit lives with me, but do we trust Him? And do we use the power of the force? Do we use the Holy Spirit? There's sometimes that's really all you can do is just pray and let the Holy Spirit take over. It says, because it can speak utterings that I can't even speak. It can pray prayers that I can't even pray. Hallelujah. And it is the force of God inside you. It is the dunamis. It is the dynamite power of God. Look at somebody beside you this morning and tell them they're dynamite. You're full of dynamite. Tell them you're full of dynamite. Now tell them you're full of it. You're full of the Holy Spirit. And you came to church to find that out, that you're full of it this morning. Hallelujah. It's in you. It's in there. Thank you, Jesus. And so, you know, there's just been times in my life that all I could do was pray in the Holy Ghost. That all I could do is just pray to God and just say, God, I don't even know the words to articulate my heart. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit can articulate your heart this morning? It knows your heart and it speaks your language. But Jesus said to them in John chapter 14, and if you remember, this is right after the giving of the Last Supper, the bread and the wine of communion. And I'm going to try not to be real long today. And we may just share a few things and we'll pick up next week. But hey, is it good to preach to an audience this morning? These pews don't amen very loud when you're here by yourself. And so the first couple of times we've had to do it, I was like, oh, this is more like giving a speech than it is about preaching. I need somebody to say amen this morning. Hallelujah. I need to know you're alive. I need to know we're connecting. Yeah. Hallelujah. But Jesus began to speak to them in John chapter 14. And I don't want to tarry a whole long time. If I don't do anything this morning but read my scriptures, we'll pick up later. But in John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And remember that when Peter says, Lord, I will go to the cross with you. I am with you all the way. John chapter 13 ends right there. And John chapter 14 takes over. And at the end of John chapter 13, he says to Peter, Peter, before the cock crows, you are going to deny me three times. End of chapter. Right? Wow, what a place to leave it. But John 14 is a continuation of that same conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples. And he doesn't leave Peter hang there. He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you are going to deny me three times. But in John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, but don't let your heart be troubled. Yep. You believe in God. That's not the issue here. Believe in me. Believe in what I have taught you. Believe in what I have showed you. Believe in what I have demonstrated to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Yep. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. How many know that the governor of the Holy Spirit lives in the mansion? How many know you are the mansions in that house? Yep. Somebody say the governor is in the mansion. You are where, how many know the governor is the Holy Spirit? He said he will lead and guide you into all truth. How many can say that the Holy Spirit has guided you at times in your life when you didn't know what to do or has spoke guidance or direction to you? I'm telling you, there's been times in my life where I've had the Holy Spirit just say, don't stop there. Don't go there.
Yep.
Go home. Go to the neighbor. Pick up the phone. Send a card, put out a text. Come on, anybody with me in here? And I hope the Holy Ghost has been speaking to you while you've been home. But I mean, no, it's a voice. And I'm going to tell you the times in my life where I superseded the voice of the Holy Spirit. I wish I hadn't. And I don't say that in fear. I say that and he would have saved me some trouble if I'd have just listened. Amen. Come on, somebody, because he'll speak to you. Hallelujah. And I said this before, and I don't want to run rabbit trails this morning, but there was a time when Morgan and them were going to go on their senior class trip to Florida, and I did not have comfort about it. I did not feel right about it, but everybody's kids was doing it. Right? Yeah. And I thought, well, maybe it's just mom being too concerned. I'm going to let her go. I was sitting right over there. during conference when I got a text and said there's been a bus accident, and the senior class is in an accident on a bus. And they didn't know any details. And I said I should have obeyed the Holy Spirit. Now, thank God, my baby was okay. But how many know sometimes we can supersede that voice thinking, it's just me. Oh, it's just mom. I'm telling you, I've been laying on my couch at night when my kids were in college, and the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, you need to pray. And I would pray covering over my kids in college. They've been out in cars and stuff before, and the Holy Spirit quickened to me and say, you need to pray. I'm telling you, it's the power of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And there's times when that gentle nudge will nudge you and you think, I don't know. Well, here's the deal. I'd rather obey that voice and be wrong than disobey it and have been right. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And so what I want to challenge you today is use the tools you've been given. Use the weapons in your arsenal. You know, we talk about my praise is my greatest weapon, and I'll raise a hallelujah. How many of that's the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit speaking louder than your voice, louder than your thoughts, louder than your emotions. When you begin to lift up the name of Jesus, how many know your focus becomes on Him and not on what's going on around you? And I've said before, I've got up in the day sometimes and said, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to speak louder than my hormones today. Amen. All the girls laugh, but you guys, you're right in there with me. Don't you just laugh. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, there are some times that we speak out of our own emotions or our own thoughts or our own worries or concerns. But there's some times when it's the power of the Holy Spirit has to be. There's all times when the power of the Holy Spirit has to be louder and stronger than my own thoughts, fears, or emotions. There's a whole lot of things I would not have done if I would have let fear speak louder than the Holy Ghost. Yep. There's still things that I got to let the Holy Ghost speak louder than the fear that, amen, that's talking to me. But he says in John chapter 14, I want to skip down there in that same chapter. In verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. What I want to share with you today, my main thought is, I will not leave you comfortless. How many need some comfort today? How many have needed some comfort in this last season? How many of you know somebody who needs some comfort? Hallelujah. But the promise of the Father says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. How many know we were talking about a spirit that was with you, but now is in you? And he that, shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while when the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me because I live. You shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, how is it that you will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, everybody say Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Somebody needs to receive some peace today. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I mean, he said the Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit will come, and it will teach you, and it will bring my words to your remembrance. How many know the operation of the Holy Spirit is to teach you? Yeah. It's a teacher. To teach you and to bring things to your remembrance. Someone said to me just this weekend, you know, I sometimes leave and I don't even remember what's been said, or I can't recollect, or I can't remember the scriptures, or I can't, you know, I forget them, I can't keep them in my head or whatever. But how many know that's what the Holy Spirit does? You ever been in a situation and you didn't have your Bible and you didn't have your notes and you didn't have any prompters, but you needed a scripture? And all of a sudden, the Spirit, you might not be able to quote it exactly word for word. You might not know chapter and verse, but you know what the Word says. And it stirs up something in your heart, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to say something to you, or it drops a thought in your mind, or it begins to stir you up, and you begin to remember, oh, I think the Word says something about this, or the Scripture says something about this, or I heard Pastor Lisa say this, or somebody once shared with me, and that has stuck with me. How many know that's what the presence of the Holy Spirit does? It teaches you and it brings to your remembrance what the Word says. I wish I could quote it word for word. I wish I could quote it like some people do. But we can't quote the whole thing most of the time. But how many know when you need it, it's in there? What is it, that product? It's Prego, isn't it? It's in there. It's just like Prego. It's in there. The ingredients are in there. And when you need them, hallelujah. And so that's what the power of the Holy Spirit says. But he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the promise of the Father. And I'm so thankful that the Comforter is the Holy. He said, and the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. That's your Comforter. How many can say, I have felt the power of the Comforter more than one time? There's a whole lot of things that we walk through, but there's also a whole lot of things that we can walk through. You know, the scripture says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You can walk through that valley and not do it in fear. Amen. You can walk through that valley and not do it in fear. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit come over me, or felt the Comforter overshadow me, where it was almost like oil poured down on my head. And it went from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I almost said out loud, there it is. I was getting ready to do a funeral, and I've told this story here before, and I was shaken. It was a very close friend. I was shaken. My best friend was very shaken, and she lost it, and I said, Holy Ghost, you got to help me, because I am a crier. My name is Lisa, and I am a cryaholic. And if there is an opportunity for tears, I'm going to shed some, because that's just the way we roll. And I wish I couldn't. And I tell people all the time, a lot of times the reason I don't speak my mind is I can't do it without crying. But if I speak my mind and you get me to the point of tears, you better back up, because then it's all on. Because at that point, I'm like, you know, you've unleashed the beast. That's just the way it is when I'm angry. But, you know, in the Holy Spirit, there's just times that you can't hold them back. But there is such a refreshing and there is such a washing when the power of the Holy Spirit comes over you and the tears flow. And I was in that situation and I said, Holy Spirit, you got to help me. And it was like I felt oil poured over the top of my head, and it came down over me in such a way that I said, there it is. That's it. I got this. We're ready. And that is the power of trusting the Holy Spirit. Was I still shaken? Yes, I was. Did I still struggle? Yes, I did. Did I cry? Yes, I did. But we got through it, and there was an anointing on that service like I hadn't felt in some services. And I felt the anointing and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that no matter where we walk or what situation we face, whether it's in, you know, a hospital ward, whether it's with patients, whether it's with, you know, wherever it is, where we in Food Lion parking lot, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was there this week. It was in the Holy Ghost parking lot. And when I began to pray, he said, would you pray with us? And I said, yes, I will. Well, when I began to pray, I started to feel the anointing. I thought, well, we could just about have a Holy Ghost hoedown right here, right now, except my ice cream is melting. I'm just telling you. And I didn't even have donuts in the cart or nothing like that, you know. But I felt the power and the presence. I'm kidding with you this morning because I just want to make sure you're still awake. But, you know, and the kids are still here. But, you know, right in the parking lot of the Food Lion, the Holy Ghost is there. So don't ever underestimate that where you are. I'm telling you, I've sat in my classroom and prayed and felt the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit right in my classroom. You know, those are the moments, you know, you can be in a situation where you are facing things and still know that the peace of God is with you. And so he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I am so thankful that I know God through all of this chaos that's happening, even in our world. The pandemics, the riots, the crazy stuff that are going on. I'm going to tell you, if anything will change our world, it's Spirit-filled people. Yes. Spirit-filled people understanding the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in them and the power of an all-loving, all-knowing God that is able to compass us and to bring healing. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit can bring, healing in a way that you can't. It can say words that you can't. It can utter utterances that you can't utter. Hallelujah, but it can bring change. But it said when the Feast of Pentecost, I'm going to jump over to Acts chapter 2 real quick, and I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. When the Feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I am so thankful to be together in one place today. Up to that point, the disciples had gathered, but when they got in one place, and they got in unity, and they got in an upper room. How many know an upper room is an elevated place? It's a higher place. Sometimes you got to get yourself up out of where you are to a higher place. How many know sometimes you got to relocate yourself even in the midst of where you might sit? Because it might seem like a low place where you're working, where you're functioning, where you're living. But how many know sometimes you got to get up to a higher place? You got to lift your eyes, or you got to lift your spirit, or you got to lift your mind to something other than what you're looking at right here. And so they were in upper room, and they were all together in one place, and without warning, I love that, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, how many is ready for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to spread like a wildfire? Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken and other tongues, languages, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, aren't these Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans, Arabs, they're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What is going on here? That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9:00 in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy and your daughters. Your young men will see visions. Your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women, both. They'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above, signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning back and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter goes on to them to describe the days that this Jesus whom you crucified is alive and well. Hallelujah. The one who you tried to silence shall no longer be silenced. Men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Let me just tell you, Peter stands up in the midst of that 120. There's 120 people in the room, right? Peter stands up in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, the same Peter that said, Lord, I'll go to the cross with you. Lord, I will die with you. The same Peter that said, who do they say that I am? And they said, well, they think you're Elijah. They think you're a prophet, Moses, whatever. He said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed to you this. And upon this rock, this foundational truth, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. He's the same guy that in the same chapter, same context there, Jesus says that he's going to be crucified and be led away. And Jesus said, and Peter pulls him aside and said, Jesus, don't talk that crazy talk. And Jesus looks at Peter and gets behind me, Satan. He says to him, get behind me, Satan. The same guy who's got the revelation, Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. And the same guy that says, I'll go to the cross with you, is the same guy who denies him, but the same guy that Jesus looks at and says, but don't let your heart be troubled. How many know when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, there's a change that takes place, and the boldness that comes with that, that teaches and leads and guides you into all truth, is the boldness that Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, men and brethren, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. I'm gonna pour out my spirit on all flesh. Let me just tell you this morning, when he poured it out, you're not going to get it back in the bottle. He's done popped the cork, and it is on the move, and it is on the flow, the power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And when he stood up to preach, it said 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. When the law was given under the old covenant, 3,000 people dropped dead at the commandment of the law and touched the mountain. But on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. How many know the Holy Ghost is to the new covenant what the commandments were, or the law was to the old covenant? You've heard Lynn share that before. How many know we walk under a new covenant? We're under a new testament. We're under a new leadership. A new governor. How many know we're not governed by rocks, writing on rocks, but we're governor. He said, I'll write my law in your heart. I'll write it with the very finger of God upon your heart. Hallelujah. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. People say all the time, is this sin? Is that wrong? Is that right? Should I do this? Should I do that? I said, ask the Holy Ghost. He won't lie to you. And if you can get it past the Holy Ghost, it's all right with me. Because that's what the governor is, the governor in the house. This is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. I'm not going to read the last part of that scripture, but how many know that was the birth of the Christian church? That was the beginning of the gathering of saints in people's homes, where they began to share the gospel daily, giving themselves to the message of the gospel, the message of preaching the gospel of Christ, the message that you know today. How many know they were straight out of the upper room? The disciples, straight out of the upper room, the very next encounter they have is the man who was lame, begging by the gate. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's straight out of the upper room, straight out of the Holy Ghost encounter, straight out of Pentecost. Miracles, signs, and wonders followed them who believed. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today that we've been able to gather in this room. I'm thankful that we can be in one accord, one mind, one spirit, one anointing. Because here's how I feel about this. When we ever unleash the power of the Holy Spirit, it comes in, they said they heard it in the room like a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it sat upon them, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I believe there is a prayer language. I believe in the speaking of tongues. I believe in all of that. But here's also what I want to leave you with this morning. What I feel like the Holy Ghost does, it causes us to, it's not about many people speaking one language as much as it is about let me see how I got it written. Speaking a multicultural language. It's not about many people speaking one language, but about one people speaking many languages. And what I mean by that, thank God for your prayer language. Thank God for the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm also thankful that the Holy Ghost teaches me to speak many languages. And when I say that, it helps me speak a multicultural language. It helps me speak teenager. It helps me speak kindergarten. It helps me speak to my spouse, to my children, to my neighbor. Because what the Holy Ghost does is give you the words to speak in an hour when it's needed, that you can speak somebody else's language. See, I don't know everybody's language because I've not been in that part of their life or that part of their region. I didn't come maybe from that background or from that understanding. But what the Holy Ghost does is supersedes boundaries and cultures and languages so that we begin to speak a word that everybody can hear, everybody can understand, and everybody can receive. Do you believe that this morning? And I believe there's a voice coming forth in this day, in this hour, in this land, that the voice of God is going to be heard, not just heard and seen. And following that is a demonstration of the power and the anointing. Stand with me this morning. Right smack dab in the middle of all.